it's worth questioning, do you need a website and just a bespoke web experience versus a traditional app? We definitely didn't need a traditional app with the volume of customers that we're dealing with and with the audience that we're dealing with as well. Typically, our clinic customers are an older demographic. They're not as tech savvy. So for us, a traditional app did not make sense at all.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. Thank you for joining us. It's great to be sharing this particular guest with you because I am loving what she's bringing to the episode. Lauren applied to be on the show. She went to ecmp.info/guest, read the info and then filled in the form. And in that form, she gave me loads of great insight into what they are doing. Now, you don't have to do that. You can just apply with a couple of lines. But when someone gives me loads, it means I can really drill into the right things to share for you guys. So we're going to be drilling into three big pieces of what they're doing at Philip Kingsley in this episode. We're going to be talking about why and how and lessons learned from building a separate e-commerce app installation for their clinic customers. So that's the people who are coming in to see the medical professionals to get their hair fixed. We are going to be talking about how they have gone about reducing the number of promotions, as in discounts, they run on their e-commerce store in order to improve performance and improve profits. Some really fascinating takeaways there. And then also on the promo space, we're going to be talking about gift with purchase and how over the last couple of years, they have been optimizing this to, well, I'm not going to tell you what they've done, but there's, because you're going to learn about that shortly, but they did one super simple change and doubled the sales, which didn't affect margin at all. And then they did another change with very little effect on margin that doubled sales again. And all of that without changing the amount you had to spend, the threshold to get that gift with purchase. You're going to have to listen to get all the goody, goody, goody stuff in this one. But brilliant episode coming up. And make sure you listen to the end because Lauren's top tips were also super clever, especially the carbon one. Insight-packed show coming up, everybody. DoFinder's upgraded intelligent product recommendations make it easy to increase your revenue with little effort. The AI-powered system automates cross-selling, ensuring your customers see exactly what they need and what they didn't even know they wanted. It also leverages real-time search data to provide personalized, relevant product suggestions that drive sales and boost average cart values. With a simple setup and continuous optimization, DoFinder's recommendations seamlessly integrate into your site, saving you time and resources. Discover the impact of intelligent recommendations today. Start your free trial at dofinder.com and watch your sales grow. Go to ecmp.info/dofinder. That's ecmp.info/dofinder. ecmp.info/dofinder. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Lauren Duncan is the head of e-commerce at Philip Kingsley, creators and sellers of Trichological hair and scalp products. Founded in the 1950s, Philip Kingsley now sell via their Magento e-commerce store, wholesale via salons and other retailers, and run two clinics in London and New York. Their number one hair mask sells one unit every 30 seconds worldwide. Hello, Lauren.
Hello, Chloe. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you here. And I'm just imagining the maths it took to work out that you're selling one of that particular hair mask every 30 seconds. It must have been quite the moment when someone calculated that one.
It definitely was. And especially when we went from selling one a minute to one every 30 seconds, that was definitely an exciting moment for the brand as well. But I definitely can't take credit for the maths.
but I can imagine we can change the homepage.
Yeah, exactly. It's not one, like, we can change everything. Like, we need to tell everyone.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Okay, well, look, Lauren, how did you, before we get deep into Philip Kingsley world, how did you end up in e-commerce, please?
I wouldn't say I fell into e-commerce, but I had a business and marketing degree at university, which I knew I wanted to do something marketing, and then fell into an e-commerce marketing role in beauty for, like, one of my favorite brands at the time, Bare Minerals. And then from then, just progressed with e-com. I absolutely loved it. Immediate results and the immediate data was one of the things that just kept calling to me instead of waiting around to see what may or may not have had an impact. So I kind of grew within that space, very much being like a generalist in e-commerce. So I was kind of across all of our digital marketing, the websites, development, projects, and loved the variety. So I, yeah, stayed in beauty. I've been in fashion, did a brief stint in health insurance, and then missed beauty. So here I am again at Philip Kingsley. Been here for about 3.5 years then.
Ooh, insurance and banking, been there. Can totally understand why you came back. Let's leave it there.
It was an interesting learning curve, though. Interesting learning curve.
It's always good to experience something a bit different, and that is a completely different world.
Yeah, so, whole new ball game.
Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned in the intro that you guys are selling via a whole plethora of different channels, wholesale, clinics, via the Magento store, but you also have developed something quite cool in the last few years to support the clinics and the product sales of the people who are going into the clinics, which I find really fascinating. So tell us a little bit about that, please.
Of course. So at Philip Kingsley, we've got two distinct sides of the business. We've got our retail side of the business, which is our shampoos, conditioners, etc. And then we've got our clinical side of the business, which is where that trichological background comes from. And I'll just explain for everyone who doesn't know what trichologist is. It's essentially a dermatologist for your hair and your scalp. So they're real health, like, hair and scalp experts that completely focus all of their energy on getting the healthiest hair and scalp ever. So our trichological clinics in London and New York focus on sort of hair loss and scalp conditions that somebody would get, but also, like, just nice hair spa treatments as well. If you just wait to deep conditioning treatment or something. So that side of the business are very in person. So you go into the physical clinics in London and New York. So we've got our iconic Mayfair building, and you can go and see the trichologists, get on a treatment plan for whatever your hair or scalp condition is. And I suppose this all happened when COVID happened, where obviously there was shutdown of that side of the business while the retail side of e-com really spiked up. And we were looking at how do we digitize this and safeguard this from just being an in-person, in-clinic customer experience. And at the time, we were also seeing a lot more people evolving their journeys, I suppose, to be a bit more digital first. So that side of the business has been through a total transformation in the last couple of years, which has led us to offering hair loss and scalp care subscription bundles through our Magento storefront. So we've added a new storefront specifically for the clinic side of the business that has an assessment at the front of it and will determine if you can qualify for one of the subscriptions, because obviously it's a prescription product, which has another host of complications and processes that we need to make sure we're following. But on the back of that, if somebody is eligible for a subscription treatment plan, they'll then go into a web app that we developed. So it's not a full physical app, but it does look and feel like an app when you log in for the customer. And that's for them to manage their virtual consultation appointments with our trichologists, but also to manage their treatment plan once they've got onto a subscription with us. So it's all sort of hosted in that one place.
Got you. So it's, I get that there, I'm sure there was a temptation to go, oh, we'll just send them a link to the website and it'll be, or to build it in that consumer focused website rather than clinic client focused website. But so I think it's really fascinating that you went, it kind of, in retrospect, it's so obvious that it needed to be a separate installation, a separate method. But was that obvious from the beginning that we've got to go separate and we should incorporate the whole journey from assessment to managing your, you know, your meetings? I'll go with meetings. Yeah. Was that obvious from the beginning or did you evolve it to get there?
It definitely wasn't obvious. I'd say that was like a hot topic of conversation when this was evolving and the ideation was sort of just kicked off, because everything on the Magento storefront at the moment, whether you're looking at our clinical services or hair and scalp information with our hair guide articles and content, and then our retail stuff, it all sits within that same Magento storefront. So at the time it was like, do we split this out? Does it make sense? And our end goal was to have our clinic customers have their own bespoke experience and platform, because it's such a different beast to our retail products in terms of all of those medical considerations that we had to factor in.
Yes, because there's a whole other level with official medical things as well, isn't there? Which I guess are different in the UK and the US, just to make it even more complicated, or is there some commonalities?
No, there's definitely some big differences, which is why the digital clinic transformation at the moment is only in the UK. So you're only eligible from a UK perspective at the moment, but it's definitely on like the long-term plan to bring that into the States. That's on the light.
So for anyone who's thinking maybe there's a place in their business for a streamlined, focused app deployment separate to their main e-commerce store, any key lessons you've learned that you'd love to share with them about how to make it successful?
Oh, I mean, I think definitely look at what you're building on and who you're building everything with. We've got great development partners, but in terms of that subscription element, definitely lean on somebody who is already doing an amazing job at that. So we migrated to a subscription platform in just November last year after trying to do it ourselves. And I would not make that mistake again. I would definitely have gone a subscription platform first. It's made a world of difference. I also think it's worth questioning, do you need a website and just a bespoke web experience versus a traditional app? We definitely didn't need a traditional app with the volume of customers that we're dealing with and with the audience that we're dealing with as well. Typically, our clinic customers are an older demographic. They're not as tech savvy. So for us, a traditional app did not make sense at all. And we've got a bit more flexibility in terms of how we then integrate with our Magento platform and get the two of those experiences working better together.
Love those pieces of advice. And yeah, it's like we're building a bespoke app, so we're going to go completely bespoke. And then it's like, no, we should have just bolted in some subscription software. Yeah. It's I could totally understand how you would have not gone in that direction, but how it may then ends up making sense. Cool. Thank you for sharing that with me. It's so infrequently we come across somewhere where it's worth having an app.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people think an app will solve all our problems, and it so infrequently has. But before I go off on that rant, you wrote a brilliant application to come on the show, which gave me, as I think we discussed earlier, about 80 things we could discuss, at least five episodes worth. So I've drilled it down to the two I find most interesting, one of which was that app. And then the second is on the core e-commerce store. You've been on a mission to improve the profits this year, which is obviously something an awful lot of people in e-commerce are trying to do this year, the new focus on profits. And there's been a whole load of stuff you've been doing with that. But I think the two of the most interesting ones were taking control of the promotions that you're offering to the customers. And you, one of the steps you took was to drastically reduce the number of promotions you run on the website, which I imagine would fill many people with fear.
Yeah.
So how's it gone? How's it been?
It's been internally painful, but it's been the right decision, 100%. I think we had got ourselves into a dangerous territory of relying on promotions and not going after full price sales. And as you mentioned, I feel like everyone and their mother is going after profitable growth this year more than ever. So for us, it was like a natural step in that direction. And as like the brand D2C site, we needed to sort of stay true to our premium hair care heritage. And the amount of discounting and promotions we were doing wasn't reflecting that properly. So we kind of got to a place where we felt like we were devaluing the brand a bit too much based on efficacy and our trichological background and all of that stuff. So we went from probably the last 2 years having like a pretty big promotion every month to having, we'd got three big promotions and two small supporting promotions this year. So it was cutting over half of them.
Wow.
But what we did find is that by doing those small, like less frequent moments, we were doing them not bigger in terms of how long they lasted, but bigger in terms of how we executed them. So making sure we were really approaching it as 360 as possible for every single execution, taking all of the learnings that we had from the last 2 years promos and going, what ones actually drove the strongest margin for us, the most revenue for us? How do we make that even better this year? So it's given us some great tools and data to be able to, one, drive more during the same sort of promo periods that we saw last year. We've seen really strong year-on-year growth in terms of that revenue volume for those bigger promotions this year. But also it gives us much stronger data to sort of standardize these promos and the forecasting that goes beside that for plotting that out in the years to come as well.
I think so often we talk about reducing reliance on promos from the brand impact and the impact on the customer. But actually, the point you're making around giving the business the time to A, make the most of the promotional opportunity and take that full 360, every channel covered, the right application everywhere for that campaign. And then secondly, to review and optimize. It's like, if you're constantly churning them out, it no longer becomes about anything other than trying to hit a sales target rather than the whole other stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like we were trying to pinhole promotions into whatever national story there was, that even if it wasn't right for the brand. And, you know, this year we've even, you know, taken these promotions a step further and we've had bespoke budget to get photo shoots and video shoots done for these moments so they can be as best as they can be. They can look as strong as possible, and they can, all the assets that we're using are fit for purpose. They're designed and shot for these promo moments, so we know that it's reflective of what we're trying to do, instead of just trying to fit, you know, this image in here, let's use this asset here and things like that. So even on that level as well, it's been super interesting to see how we can elevate those moments from a brand awareness perspective or a brand positioning perspective.
I love that, that once you start taking control rather than just churning promo after promo after promo, all these other opportunities come to the fore of, actually, we could make this even stronger. Now we know what our real objective is. Now we know what we're doing. It will be worth doing a photo shoot for it. So I love hearing how it's evolving for you as well. And then the bit which you told me about in advance, which feeds into this, is another promotion you're running on the site, which is the monthly gift with purchase, which obviously hugely common in the beauty sector. Free gift, free gift, free gift. You've really been working this hard as well alongside the big promotional shift. So could you please tell us a bit about how, why, and what you've been up to?
So this has been a labor of love for me and my team since about 2022. What we were seeing is that we were just doing a very standard gift with purchase every month. It didn't change much in terms of the value we were offering. And the threshold always stayed the same at £50. There was never any testing. So over the last year and a half, we've been testing every element in phases to try and optimize it as strongly as we could. So the first test that we put in was actually the creative, which was traditionally just pack shots on a colored background. Very basic, just showing what you get when you spend £50. As a hair care brand, we wanted to add in some hair to our assets. Revolutionary, I know. But when we did that, we actually saw that the revenue driven from that promo doubled overnight. So we literally went from 1 month where it was X and the next month where we had an asset with hair promoting this gift with purchase, we doubled our revenue.
Literally by including hair in the photography, a picture of someone's hair.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild. And
wow,
we were like, okay, then, so we need more hair everywhere.
We hear you, customers, you want to see hair.
Exactly, which makes total sense.
Yeah.
So we kept that going for a couple of months just to validate that it was working. And then the next thing was improving how we display it across the site. So at that time, we had just installed a personalization software called Nosto, and we used that to sort of highlight the gift with purchase in cart. So to help people see that if you spend X pounds more, you'll qualify for this gift to use code whatever at checkout. That, again, doubled our revenue, basically, overnight, month on month. We saw that consistent for the other couple of months. And then we went into testing things like copy formats, where we put the hierarchy on the copy, things like that. And eventually down to testing the threshold. So increasing our average order value, which has been the focus for this year. And so far this year, we've increased our AOV by 5% versus last year. Just by doing that, we haven't changed prices massively. We haven't been doing anything significant, but just from that GWP alone, people are now spending, you know, 20, 30 pounds over above the threshold that we set. So even though we're setting a higher threshold, they're still spending even more above that, which has been phenomenal. And if we look at comparing where we are now with that gift with purchase revenue versus 2022, we've seen like a 338% increase in our revenue from that single promotion, just by doing those optimizations step by step.
That is mad. Anyone who's wondering, GWP is gift with promotion, just in case you got stuck on that loop. What I find, so many things I find fascinating with this, Lauren. Obviously, the results are brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the value of the free gift, the cost to you, hasn't changed a lot during all of this. So this is a big margin win, I would assume.
Yeah, 100%. If anything, we've actually brought the value of the gift down as we've increased the threshold this year only, not last year, but with our focus on profitability this year, we've set like a limit in terms of what we're willing to give away for what threshold. So it will change depending on what threshold we give away now, but we are much more strict.
Nice. And I also love the fact that I think many people, when they go, right, okay, we're going to optimize gift with purchase, we've ignored it for several years, let's go and see what we do, they'd immediately start playing around with the threshold, with how much money you need to spend to get it. So I love the fact that you didn't do that. You went, how can we optimize what we've already got? What we've already got all this data on, to see what other levers we can pull. What do the graphics need to look like? Where should the wording be? Can we find a way of flagging it in checkout? And kind of optimize the mechanism to the nth degree before you start playing around with the actual threshold. Was that intentional to leave threshold to last? Was it accidental? How were you so clever?
It was a happy accident, I would say. I think our nervousness internally was, if we do the threshold straight away, we're just going to lose revenue. And that was the thinking really behind it. It was more like a fear decision. Like, if we do this, people aren't going to get it, because we were still acquiring so many new customers that we thought they're not going to want to spend over that amount. So it's a bit of a dangerous territory to test first. So we'll start elsewhere and see where that gets us.
That makes so much sense. So, oh, a bit scared of that one. Let's see what else we can move. But clearly, you know, in hindsight, an absolutely brilliant happy accident. Doubling the sales by adding hair, I think, is just so cool.
I know. And such an obvious one as well. Like, you know, we're a hair care brand. We should have hair on so many of our assets. And because of that gift with purchase success, we've rolled that out across so many more of our promotional activity and other assets and sort of the approaches to our photo shoots and stuff now. We're always like hair everywhere.
Bring in some hair, people. Exactly. Bring in some hair. Just a caveat for anyone listening, if you're selling garden products, hair is not going to work for you. You're going to have to find your own version of that. Just in case anyone's thinking, Chloe said I needed more hair in my photos. Neither me nor Lauren said that. And then that flagging in the checkout, getting the right tech in your tech stack, which in your case was Nosto, and then being able to flag that to people, again, doubling the sales for very little outlay in the grand scheme of things. So love those. So Lauren, thank you for sharing so much with us. Before we head towards the top tips, what have you got coming up next? What are you willing to reveal that's in your plans? What's got you excited for the next 6 months or so?
So we've got so much going on at the moment, as I'm sure everyone does. But the things that I'm probably most excited about are with our clinical digital transformation, we're continually evolving that. So where we've only got lies now, a male hair loss and scalp concern prescription program, we're launching female hair loss subscription programs this year at some point. I cannot tell you when. But that's been a super exciting project as well to sort of build on that and continually focus on it. And then within the retail space, we've recently launched our subscriptions for our retail and platform as well. And without doing any promo on it, it did far better than we were expecting. So we're just going into our promo phases now. So I'm super excited to see how we can evolve that as well after so much early success with it.
E-commerce Masterplan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
DoFinder's upgraded intelligent product recommendations make it easy to increase your revenue with little effort. The AI-powered system automates cross-selling, ensuring your customers see exactly what they need and what they didn't even know they wanted. It also leverages real-time search data to provide personalized, relevant product suggestions that drive sales and boost average cart values. With a simple setup and continuous optimization, DoFinder's recommendations seamlessly integrate into your site, saving you time and resources. Discover the impact of intelligent recommendations today. Start your free trial at dofinder.com and watch your sales grow. Go to ecmp.info/dofinder. That's ecmp.info/dofinder. ecmp.info/dofinder. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Lauren, you've already given us so much great insight, but are you ready for the top tips?
I am indeed.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So I'm not going to recommend a book, but I will eventually. I prefer listening to things. So I've got a membership with a company called Masterclass, which hosts a number of different lessons by different experts. There's a masterclass in there by FBI negotiator Chris Boss on negotiation tactics in the workplace. And at first I thought, okay, that's just for like sales teams, but it's literally for everybody who has to try and get somebody else to do a job for them. So I think that's been great. And I know that people who have read Chris Voss's book, Never Split the Difference, have said that it's been extremely great as well. So if you do want to read a book, it will be very similar, I imagine, to his Masterclass.
Oh, very cool. So head to Masterclass to watch Chris Voss's session on negotiation or get the book. Love that double, covering all learning methods there. Yeah. okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
This is a tough one. I feel like I could pick loads, to be honest. But the biggest one that we've seen the difference with this year is actually going much more of a full funnel approach with our paid media. So I think there's always, when you're looking at profitability, the tendency to go after middle and bottom of the funnel too much. But we actually have taken the opposite approach and really built out our top of funnel strategy this year, focused on brand awareness, reach, impressions, and that's made a huge positive impact to our ROAS this year. So something that we're going to continue to do. Even though we've got a pretty strong market in the UK, there's always people that haven't heard from you, and there's always new ways to bring people into that funnel. So I think that would be my biggest win from this year.
Covering all the angles, isn't it? It's the sum of the parts is much greater than the individual parts themselves, which is always a quote I completely mangle, but I think you all know what I mean. Okay, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I have two, actually. So I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Miro or Miro, M-I-R-O, is a great collaboration tool. It's like a digital, like, whiteboard, I would say, but there's so many different templates you can use to like plan your marketing strategies, do team brainstorms, collect like inspiration to share with different teams. Like I use it every single day. I love it. And then Loom is a video screen recording tool that I use for like internal training, documentation to share around. And I use it with my development team as well when I'm trying to record what's actually happening versus the expectation. And that has saved me so much time on back and forth with our development agency on what's not working.
I love those two. So it's, I call it Miro, but I never had no idea if that's right or not. But it's M-I-R-O, everybody. And then Loom is L-O-O-M. So two great recommendations. The carbon top tip, finally. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
For me, it's definitely our returns process, and this will be applicable to everybody. But for us, people will be opening and using their shampoos and hair masks and things. So for us, it was looking at, is it worth our while? Is it economical? And is it sustainable for people to be sending back products that we're just going to have to get destroyed anyway because they've been open to new use? So we typically don't ask for those to come back to us, and we just say to the customer to give them to a friend if they're not suitable for them while we sort out their replacement. So I'd say look at what that's actually costing you as a business and what impact that could be having on the environment as well. Is it necessary?
I think it's quite a ballsy thing to do. I think, like, you know, we talked earlier about the fear of raising the threshold affecting things. I think a lot of people would be worried you'd end up with a tidal wave of people buying product and pretending to return it. I'm doing air quotes, everybody, in case you're wondering. Have you seen that as an impact? Have you got people abusing this, or is it just been a massive cost and carbon saving?
Yeah, I think it's just been positive for us. We definitely don't have people abusing it. We do also have like a 90-day money-back guarantee, which since we've launched, not 0.04% of customers take up. So I think it does depend on your average return rates as well. Ours were pretty low, so it wasn't a big risk for us to sort of take. And I think we were probably spending more destroying products than we were getting money back in any way. Just it didn't make sense for us as a business.
I love that example. Thank you so much for sharing it. Lauren, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Of course. So you can find our website at www.philipkingsley.co.uk or .com if you're in America. And you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at philip_kingsley.
Simple as that, everyone. Lauren, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Mastermind podcast. It's been lovely chatting with you and learning so much about what you're up to. So thank you for sharing so much with the audience.
Thanks so much, Chloe and Tedger.
So some fast and furious insights for all of you there. I think the way they're using an app to improve the offline or the experience for their offline first customers, I think is really fascinating. Love the tips Lauren shared on how to make sure you do that right if you're going to do it. And then all those pieces around how they've optimized their promotional plans in order to, or they're giving away of margin in order to improve their profits, I think is absolutely fascinating. First of all, how they've reorganized their promotional campaigns. So they're focusing on fewer of those a year, but making sure they make the most out of them, which also then means they're not running massive promotions every single day of the year. Great to hear the results about that. And then the gift with purchase piece, the amount of impact they made by changing the graphics and getting the promotion into the right place. We say about marketing being about place, being about message, being about channel, being about the graphics you use in connecting with the customer. And that is that an example of that in action, delivering massively, 2x-ing the sales by getting the graphics right, including hair, the customer's problem, what the customer is coming to you for, and then 2x-ing it by getting the message in the right place, right there in the heart of the checkout to encourage those extra purchases. And all of that without changing the threshold or changing the offer at all. So really, really fascinating. Really loved catching up with Lauren there. You can get your hands on our notes from the episode, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned by going to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/episode number even into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page on the website. And when you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, like another recent episode we did, episode 502 with Matt from Moss, which is all about improving profitability again. But in this case, it's about the UK business Moss, formerly known as Moss Bros, which is a men's suits company, rental and purchase, and how they've been on a big plan over the last 3-4 years of totally changing their reliance on discounts and promotions to improve the profitability of the business. Quite a different approach in its reality, but same principles apply. So well worth listening to after this one if that was resonating for you. And if you want more on beauty and beauty brands and how they're growing at the moment and what they're doing, then head to ecmp.info/beauty, which is on the, that will take you to the beauty page on the e-commerce master plan website. So ecmp, short for ecommercemasterplan.info/beauty for all our interviews with beauty businesses. Thank you for tuning in to this and every episode of the e-commerce master plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week to inspire and help as many e-commerce business owners as possible to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including becoming more sustainable. Didn't you just love that returns piece, especially the fact it's not really led to any abuses? So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a brilliant week and do not forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.